If you... I'm a God-conscious man. I actually move through life consulting with God. So somewhere there's a padded room for people like me. I hear the news and I ask, Father, what are you up to in this? A situation or a string of circumstances will come my way, and I'm looking for what God is doing in that scenario. I'm not the only God-conscious person on the planet, because the Bible that I believe in tells me that all that needs to be known, listen to this, that which is known about God is evident within them. He's speaking about humanity in general. And he says, for God has made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. That is, it is possible to see the invisible. It is possible to see the invisible. Amen. And we are a people who have that as part of our heritage in the Lord. Now, Svetlana and I are beginning a series today on experience, connect, and impact. These three small words reflect the trajectory of the Holy Spirit from the inception of this congregation back in the 40s. No, I was not there. People. But our history is a history of people who experience God. And there are two primary ways that we should grab hold of in our pursuit of the experience of God. One is His Word, written, and that which He speaks into your life. And the other is the experience of His presence. But you've got to have both. Some of you have probably seen barbells. Guys or gals lifting these things, or maybe laying there doing presses. You know how difficult that would be if one end was empty? When we don't have both the Word and the presence, we are not in balance. It is important that we be people of the Word because we begin to experience God and His clarity in the Word. Now, for those of you who go to the Bible and look for stuff, some of you know that there is this principle called the principle of first mention. And when you're trying to understand some theme in the Scripture, you go back to where that theme is first mentioned and begin there. Because when it first comes into being, there are things, it establishes a trajectory of what God's doing. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, anybody ever heard of the book of beginnings? In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So where does the beginning start? It starts with God. It doesn't start with Darwin. That's an emphatic statement of belief, not necessarily a solicitation for gratuitous applause. But in the beginning, created, and God said, let there be. Now let's look at this. In the beginning, God. So whatever is coming down the pike has an origin in a single source. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. So we have a statement here of source, utterance, and activity. So when God says, He anticipates there'll be a doing, because He does not speak idly. You can be assured that when God speaks, He does so with intentionality, forethought, to a purpose. So I don't generally start my conversation with the Lord with, "So what are you thinking?" Because I've learned that His thoughts are not my thoughts, and my ways are not His ways. So whatever I'm going to understand, it has to come to me through Him. Now, in this scenario, we have the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Look at this. God created, the Spirit of God moved, God said, and there was. Anytime the Lord speaks, the Spirit of God, when truth speaks out of the essence of truth, the Spirit of truth comes to facilitate the desire that truth wants manifested. Consequently, because He's full of loving kindness and truth, whatever He says about, over, and for you is completely reliable. But in our untrained minds, in our unreconstructed thinking, we disqualify what God says because we refuse to accept the word of truth spoken over you. Our experience with God must be firmly planted in the authority of what God says about you and about us and our destiny in Him. To fully experience Him, we have to pay attention to what He's saying. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have the record of what God spoke. Which is more important, the record of what He spoke or the fact that He spoke? It's the fact that He spoke. Keep in mind, God was doing all this long before there was a Genesis chapter 1. Sometimes people forget that stuff. They think there was always a Bible. No, there was always what God said. And He says this of what He says: "My covenant will I not break, neither will I alter the thing that has gone forth from my mouth." You talk about somebody who's confident in himself. That's your God. In his self-declarations, the thing I've taken you too many time in Exodus 34, he says of himself that he is full of loving kindness and truth. Now, if he's full of that, what is it that will spill over on you? His loving kindness and truth. And one of the biggest obstacles I face in working with people is their unwillingness to accept what God says to be true. I'm sympathetic toward the agnostic because they're just not sure. I'm less sympathetic toward the atheist, because they have had to work very hard at not believing what is already revealed to them. Okay? The Pope reportedly recently said, if you're an atheist, then God will forgive you. And if that's true, then after 2,000 years, the end of Christianity has finally come. Because you don't get forgiveness without repentance. I just throw that in there in passing. Something I read along the way. But keep in mind, before when Paul would walk into a meeting, he would not say, "Now open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because there was no 1 Timothy chapter 2. There was what God was speaking in the moment. There was the Pentateuch, the law. The first five books were generally accepted among Jews and those who were early converted to Christianity among the Jews. But there were a lot of other things that were not in this thing called the canon. How many of you know what a canon is? And I don't mean bang. It's that book you carry around called the Bible. Because it was a long, long time before the church fathers could agree what should be in and what shouldn't be in and why it should be in and why it shouldn't be in. So what you have in your hand is the record of what God has preserved for you, for your benefit and your lifetime, for His purposes through you. You should value that. How many of you have ever been walking along in your walk with the Lord and you saw something in the Bible you didn't know was in there, but you said, I knew that. I know that, but I didn't know it was in there. There is a way to authenticate what you know that is true. And an equally important part of the Bible is it will adjust what you think is true because it's not. I don't want to spend my life believing a lie. How many of you know lying gets you in trouble? I have to be a person of the truth because, quite frankly, I don't know how liars juggle all their lies. Eventually, you're going to be found out that you're a liar. There's a family member in my extended family who is a noted liar. It is said of him, this is the family proverb, he would tell a lie when the truth would serve him better. Because when you run that rut, it's very hard to get out of it. So I recommend the truth under most non-married situations. Does this dress make my behind look big? It's a trap. It's a trap. But if we're going to be people of God, don't you think it would be important to be people of God's Word? How many of you own a Bible? Seriously? That's all? How many of you own a Bible? Woo! I'm not going to ask how many of you opened it this morning. But I may next week. A little bit of grace. But there are things that need to be asked. If the Bible is what God thinks about stuff, then don't you think it might be important to know what He thinks about immorality? Or child rearing? Or financial management? Or being a good employee? Did you know the Bible addresses all of that stuff? Let me put it in simple terms. If you're not making your boss money by working for him, he needs to fire you because you're costing him money. You're not a good employee.
Amen, preacher.
You know, there are things that the Scripture says to us that we need to be sensitive to. Like loving one another is not the same as them.
Well, I don't hate them.
And I can't find any record, any specific chapter and verse that says love has got something to do with fuzzy feelings. From what I can tell, it's about acts of service and sacrifice. And when you put it in that context, it bears a little bit of weight on your relationships. Why does it sound like you're going, move along, move along, there's nothing here to see? See, we're afraid to go at the Word because it might actually challenge our thinking about our relationships. But in knowing God through the Word, we start to create room for Him to move in our life. You know, I have friends who don't believe that God still heals. They don't believe that. Now, because they refuse to accept something simple like Jesus bore our sicknesses and diseases in His own body on the cross, they have to explain that away. Okay, they take verse 9 and following in Mark chapter 16 and they just say that's not true anymore. That was added on later. And the consequence is they begin to say things like this. Well, I'll have cancer for Jesus. You go right ahead. I'm not. If it's coming after me, it ain't coming from the Lord's hand. And I ain't signing for it. Because God does not kill his children with disease. You know, I look, you know, good Lord, have mercy on me. I'm about as broken a human being as I've ever known. Anything that's of any good in my life, Jesus did. And out of that brokenness, I look at my son, loving my grandson, and I feel the love that I have for the two of them. And I think about how much God must love me. He's not looking to get rid of me. Do you understand? He's not looking for an excuse. On my worst day, he's committed to my welfare. I believe that stuff. I'm solidly entrenched in that, and it helps me war against my own frailty. Because the authority of his word gives him room to move. But he will also initiate the opportunity to speak his word by doing something. Have you ever reached the conclusion, well, that must be God? You know, everything you have touched has turned to dust. And you figure, no human being can be this stupid. This must be God. Something has happened and you've convinced yourself there has to be some word from heaven coming. Just imagine, let's suppose you're just out tending your animals. You know, just tending your animals. And God set a tree on fire. You've seen trees burn before. You just keep tending your animals. You know, it's only one tree, just one tree on fire. And hours later, it's still on fire at the same intensity. Would that capture your curiosity?
I believe I will turn aside and see what this is about.
And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, he spoke. There are situations that will come into our life that are designed to capture the attention of the God seekers. There are God seekers in the earth. And they want to know the reality of God, and he will set something up for them. Now, here's one of the difficulties of being a God seeker. Moses is going about his own business, and a curious happens. And it provokes his curiosity. So he turns toward the curious, moves in that direction, and then I am utter something that can be heard. And what does Moses do? God spoke, and Moses got scared. I'm always kind of tickled when somebody would say to me, you know what I'd like to do, Pastor? You know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to see an angel. You need to be people of the Word. Because I can't find anybody anywhere who ever saw an angel and thought it was cool when they showed up. The angels always start out, don't be afraid, because it's too late. We're afraid. Adam heard the sound of God walking in the garden. What'd he do? I hid myself because I was afraid. There's an innate fear in our being, in our souls, from getting too close to God. Because the chances are something in you is going to have to die. But he will set up these circumstances to bring to the surface things that you have got to deal with. Okay? Now let's suppose that you're a good Baptist girl. And your husband drags you into one of those churches. I believe you're being set up for change. She knows who I'm talking to. Now, there's another little story in there that illustrates this, and I love this story. It's about chasing donkeys. Okay? Something happened. Dad's donkeys disappear. He tells his son, son, grab a servant and go find him donkeys. Now, I don't know how far donkeys go because I'm not really a donkey raiser. But apparently they went a good distance because Saul and his servant have been looking for a long time. And the servant says, you know, we've come a good distance. We're close to the city where the seer is. The seer is what they called him before they started using the word prophet. And so they counseled together and said, well, we can't go empty-handed because when you go to see a seer, you've got to bring a gift. He said, well, look, I got a tiny piece of silver. We'll do this. So they're out chasing donkeys. They don't know what to do. Maybe the seer can tell us where the donkeys are. So they start heading up to the city. They run into a little girl. And she says, yes, we're having the sacrificial meal. The seer is here today. What a coincidence. And as Saul and his servant, Saul, the future king of Israel, starts walking up the hill to try to find out where the donkeys are, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, see that boy? He's the one I told you yesterday would be here today. What coincidence. And so Samuel says to the boy, he said, look, I'm headed up there to the feast. I'm the guest of honor. Why don't you sit at my table? Me? Yes, you. And by the way, the donkeys you've been searching for 3 days have been found. Don't worry about them. I was going to mention that to you, but thanks. In the ordinary circumstances of your day, God is at work. And the destiny to which He has appointed you is His intentionality in the affairs of your life. Not all of you will become king of Israel, for which you should be truly grateful in the present environment. But you are kings and priests on assignment in the earth by your Father to represent His interests wherever He deploys you. And that requires a God consciousness and a reality that's more than I believe. You cannot play I believe with someone who believes something else. You just entrench yourself further from one another. But when God shows up in the situation, it don't matter what you believe because He don't believe what you believe. He believes what He believes, and you're going to believe it too. Believe. That's almost like believe, but it's Southern. You're going to believe it. My wife was a God seeker long before she knew the Lord. She was an Episcopalian. And when she was seeking God, she went to every Episcopalian church she knew about trying to find God. And all she found were more Episcopalians. But God had made Himself real to her. Because my wife I don't need any help getting in trouble, okay? Just let me think this through. I think I can say in all fairness, my wife is the most well-intentioned human being I know. If intentions count for anything. She never really intended, as a young girl, riding the city bus, to leave her purse laying on the seat. She never intended to do that. She intended to take it. And she didn't. More than once. But every time, as a young, unredeemed, Episcopalian God seeker, she would pray and she'd get her purse back off a city bus. I will never have that story in my repertoire of testimonies about my relationship to Christ.
Because I'm not like that.
See, I told you I didn't need any help. But in terms that she understood to be God, He made Himself real. So when the reality showed up, there was already an expectancy of His ability to intervene in the details of her life. You know, it's interesting to me the number of us who appear to be blind to the activity of God until the scales fall from our eyes and we're born again. And then we look back and all of a sudden we see all these God things we did not know how to interpret before. Because He is always, He never sleeps nor slumbers. He is constantly moving on your behalf for your good. Even when it hurts like the dickens, it is for your good. How many of you know if you drop a vice on your foot, God did not do that? And some of us have dropped vices into our life.
I'm just unconscious. Yes.
Now, sometimes we need help understanding what's going on. All right? Rhonda, where are you? I know you're nearby because I told you not to go anywhere. So come here. In our worship this morning, a seer heard from the Lord for you. That would be your cue. Well, I'll get you an oven. Because I turned that one on too.
How about this?
Hello, hello, hello. Ah.
Okay.
All right. This is what I believe I heard from the Lord. When I heard these words, I wrote them down. You are not a people who are abandoned by their father, nor are you a people who are thrown to the wind to be whipped here and there. You are a people who are firmly planted in a foundation from the beginning of time. You are a chosen people whose steps are ordered by their father. A father who knows the very number of hairs on your head and who your face is ever before. You are not an orphaned people. Your father is very much present and has your welfare ever before him. Selah.
Selah. Stop and think on these things. Did you hear it? Don't you wish it was true? I know it's true. I live in that truth. But there's always some broken person sitting there thinking, I wish that was true. Because they have believed the lie that runs counter to the truth. Now, I would submit to you, God just spoke a word in the moment. Because I authenticate the validity of that statement to you. And if in your mind you're saying, I wish that was true, we can help you. You can be free of the lie to walk into the destiny that Father has ordained for you. Because it's true, and He said so in language you understand. And when your eyes are open, He will reinterpret your history. Now, part of the reason we need to be experiencing God in His Word is because His Word is sometimes kind of like the lifeguard that doesn't sleep, always looking after you, because we have the capacity to jump into the deep end thinking we can handle ourselves in the deep end. Ever jumped in the deep end and needed to be rescued? Yes. Listen to this. I should probably add this since we are an educated congregation. All truth originates in God, and any truth that is in science originates in God. So you can learn truth from science. You can also hear a lot of stuff that needs to be adjusted toward the truth. But I'm not opposed to science when I speak about truth. I also believe you can experience truth just in life experience. I didn't do well in physics, but physics will help you understand trampolines, vectors, velocity. I don't do trampolines anymore because I don't do them or physics well. The fact that you can hit it on the run does not mean you're going to go up. It may mean you're just going to go over. There's a truth in there somewhere. Mathematical truth. But the Lord gives this instruction to his people. He says, the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you this day, the Lord told me to teach them to you so that you might do them in the land where he is giving, you're going over to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson, so that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that the three generations that you represent might learn to reverence the Lord. Who are you supposed to be teaching? Your children and your children's children, and your children should be helping you teach your children's children so that they can teach their children who will teach their children's children so that later on there's 12 generations of righteousness, not just you. To keep his statutes and his commandments so that your days may be prolonged. Long life is supposed to be a blessing. God considers you living a long time to be a blessing. Why? Because you can influence perhaps four generations of righteous people. But look at this. Israel, you should be listening. You should listen and be careful to do it so that it will be well with you. I set before you life and death. Choose. Okay. All in favor of blessing, long life, prosperity? All in favor doing what's right in your own eyes, knowing the end thereof is destruction? You should listen and be careful to do it so that it will be well with you. And you may multiply greatly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk. By the way, you've heard this before. Here's what I wanted to get to in verse 10. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers. Now understand something. We're a long way down the road from the promise to Abraham. 500 plus years since God said, I will make of you a great nation, and gave him one son. But when God fulfills his promise to your generations, he has satisfied his promise to you. We've got to be multi-generational in our thinking. Listen to what he says here. When I give you splendid cities, which you did not build, and houses full of good things, which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns, which, and vineyards and olive trees, which, and you eat and are satisfied, then look out. Because comfort is the enemy of commitment. You begin to say, look what I have gathered with my own hand. Now what shall I do with all this surplus? I know, I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and I'll fill up my storehouses and say, oh soul, take your leisure, for we're all set with our 401k. Don't forget that I'm the one who brought you out of slavery and made it possible for you to experience the upward lift of the kingdom. I don't want to forget where I came from, the mess I lived in, the brokenness that was mine, the poverty that I have known. I don't want to forget those things. I don't live near any of that stuff anymore. A pickup truck can drive by today and my flesh does not crawl because my stepfather's coming home to beat me again. I can sit in the broad daylight and not have a nightmare with my eyes wide open. I don't have to wear the same shirt 5 straight days. The rods don't knock in my car, and it doesn't fumigate for mosquitoes when I drive it. But I came from all of that, and I will not forget the Lord who brought me out of the house of slavery. Everything I have is by His mercy. All that I know is by His grace. You were not that good a person. Sinner. But you have been adopted into the household of a king and made nobility. You have been given the right to stand up on the inside and to administrate grace wherever you go, because you're not
somebody who comes to church.
You're the representative of your Father. And you have a destiny in the earth to which you are apportioned. His word gives us room to move around in our thinking. His reality inspires us because it will educate us about His word. For instance, I have acquired this proverb through years of experiences with the Lord. Command, obedience, understanding. There's things you cannot understand until you obey. Some of it's for our safety. Some of it is for our advancement. Some of it is for our transformation. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to His disciples, "Now y'all stay put. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the promise of the Father. So just stay here in Jerusalem until He shows up." He who? He what? He where? They didn't know. Jesus has been resurrected on Passover. The Feast of Pentecost is 50 days later. So for 10 days, they're standing around Jerusalem waiting. They had no concept of drive-through windows. They had never even heard of 205 channels. There was no such thing as urgency. You plant the seed and you sit around and wait. You harvest and then you sit around and wait to plant. So for 10 days, they're cooling their heels. And then He shows up, the invisible one, making Himself known in wind and fire. And when they tried to talk about it, they talked funny. It was like somebody from Maine going to Mobile and trying to talk to them. "Hey, y'all come here and listen to this. Go ahead, say something." Or somebody from Texas going to Canada. It'll draw a crowd because they ain't ever heard anything like you. And then Peter stood up in the midst of the 11 and said, "This is what was promised by the prophet Joel." Now, Peter didn't know Joel. Joel had lived 500 years ago. But Peter knew what Joel had written. And what Joel wrote allowed him to interpret what God was doing. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." This is that. What we've been waiting for 5 centuries is here today. If you know the word, you can understand the experience. But if you divorce yourself from the reality of the world, you will make up some stupid thing and be the guru of the newest Southern California religion. Because you can have experiences of the supernatural. But if you don't have the word from the supernatural to interpret it, they may induct you into the Society of Kathy Charismatic. I've had to deal with those people all my ministry life. And it's not that they don't know the Lord. They don't know his ways because they refuse to submit themselves to the word. Because I heard from God. Yeah, what it says right here, God wouldn't say that. But I heard from God. Hello? And they choose the experience. We're not going to be that. In case you weren't listening, we're not going to be that. I've learned this about the Word and the Spirit. When you stand in the presence, the manifest presence of God, the Word becomes clear. So we're going to be committed to the experience of His presence. We're also going to be committed to the authority of His Scripture to help us understand His activity. Y'all remember this phrase of, don't be hearers of the word only, but be. Do you remember why it said that? Lest you deceive your own self. You can't understand it if you won't obey it. For instance, humility in an argument makes no natural sense. But when you see people rising up against Moses and him laying down on his face before God and God coming to open up the earth and swallow those who are opposed him, suddenly humility takes on a brand new value. Because the scripture says of Moses, he was the most humble man because he had someone he represented who would defend him in his representation. Someone strikes you on the cheek, what do you do? Yeah, turn the other cheek. If they hit you again, what do? You lay them out. I didn't find anything about that second strike. Did you? Do you see it in there anywhere? No. Mamas don't like to hear this stuff because when I send my son on the playground, I say, okay, son, if he pushes you, let it go. If he pushes you again, nail him. Because the playground is a hard place to play. And it's a worse place to grow up. You have to teach people to stand in the truth. And sometimes pushback is required. I don't know where we got this mamsy-pamsy, Walter Milktoast version of Jesus Christ, but y'all need to adjust that thing. Look, he took on death, hell, the grave, the government, the armies, and the spirit of religion. And he didn't roll over. And when they stepped on him, they got a nail in their foot forever. Yeah. And if you'll take this Holy Ghost power drink right now. All right, let me let you out of here. I hope you have as much fun at work as I do. We have a history that the Lord established in the trajectory that began years ago. And that history is both understanding His Word and manifesting His presence. Listen, I have got no beef with those who resist the Holy Spirit in His manifestations, because I am not their Lord. But their Lord is my Lord, and I believe in His words and His works. Okay? For instance, Rhonda. That says off, that says on, and that says nothing. I will. Yeah, the light is on. Hello, is anybody out there? No, I don't think so. Now I'm going to turn this one on.
Hello?
Hi. Yes.
I never quite know where I'm going.
I don't
okay.
either. Just follow me.
Okay. I had a sense during worship that the Lord wanted to provide healing for a couple of things. And the first was someone with a left ankle that had been broken a few years ago, and it's giving the person problems getting around now. There's a lot of pain.
Let us pause right there. Now, one of the things that we do here is attempt to obey what we believe the Holy Spirit is saying. We try to make it safe for you to experiment with your obedience, because nobody learns to ride without falling over. So Rhonda is saying, my sense is there's someone here with this circumstance. My question is anyone here got that circumstance? The circumstance is?
Left ankle that was broken, and it's just you're having continuous problems with it, or it's the pain is resurfacing and now you're having problems getting around.
Okay. Anybody got that situation under the sound of my voice? We'll take it. Now, listen, seriously, understand this.
Well, you know, they said the left ankle, and mine is the right ankle. I guess it's not for me.
No. Once the grace starts to flow, we can all get in it. Okay? These are precipitating words to ignite faith and expectancy for God's intervention, because His Word says He heals. Go ahead.
Okay, another was, I had a sense that there was a mother here who's dealing with a teenage son, and this mother has seen a real change in her son, and I felt like that there was a spirit of destruction that had really come upon and was after her son, and she is seeing the fruit of that.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you who that is. Now, why would I not ask? Because if the son is here, I don't want him on the spot. If people know you, I don't need to advertise your problem. But I will say to you, when we start moving to the altar, you should come see her. Now, just out of curiosity, you with a cast on your left foot, what happened to your ankle? Oh, you broke it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I gave you plenty of time. What else?
I saw a child, toddler to about 3 or 4 years old, about that age, a little girl that was having some real digestive issues, that whenever she ate, she had a tremendous amount of pain going on.
Okay, I will ask who is that, because we want the little girl, okay? Y'all go get her in a moment, and we're going to lay hands on her, okay? Now, tell me what just happened when you heard that word. What happened inside you as parents? Okay. See, the Lord is speaking in the moment to a situation, because He knows what donkey that little girl is chasing, okay? Now, let's try to package this and see it together. We're starting today on this series of experience, connect, and impact to get the arrowhead sharpened on what looks like the trajectory of the Holy Spirit in our history as a people here in this community. Now, there are some of you who are relatively new among us, and you're joining into an experiential way of living in the Spirit that many of us can attest to what is transformational in who we are and how we see ourselves and conduct our business in the world. But our experiences here are not serendipitous. Early, when you're starting off on this stuff, you kind of go, oh, gosh, I hope God shows up today like He did last time. Oh, poo. Man, 2 times ago was so great. Well, let's go back next week. Maybe something will happen, and it didn't again. And then 2 months later, oh, look, it happened again. And it's just kind of guesswork. When in fact, the realm of the supernatural is our inheritance within time and space once we're reconciled to the Father. And there are things that we do intentionally to invite the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the reality of the invisible, to show us the invisible. Now, we lay hands on a little girl because we heard a word. Her stomach problems go away. Are we or are we not seeing the invisible? Absolutely. Jesus says, go tell them what you see and what you hear. And if we don't have those two dimensions, we're just playing I believe. Now, those of you who are new among us, we started off stumbling into the presence of God. Now we're intentional about it. We have something around here we call Encounter Sunday. You know why? We believe we can have an encounter with God. And more people are responding to that. We had a family who has attached themselves with us because the first Sunday they showed up here was an Encounter Sunday, and I don't apologize for them at all. And God spoke into their family, healed their daughter, encouraged them prophetically, and they said, this is my church. Because God is real here. Okay? I've got some friends visiting with me this year. Our dear friends whom we love and haven't talked to in 27 years, they're here this morning. And as we sat over dinner last night, actually it was the night before, they were telling us about how precious this experience here was in their life 27 years ago. That it was transformational for them. And when they look back over the decades of church attendance, this is the place where God planted His flag in their heart in a new way. Am I representing that correctly? Okay. The Lord's been doing this stuff for a long, long time, and we're more skilled about it today than we were 27 years ago. And those of you who are coming in, this is not melee. This is not happenstance. We actually have some idea of what we're doing.
I hope that encourages you.
But I'm challenging you today to join with us in becoming intentional about the pursuit of God. I don't want you to get to heaven and tell the Lord, I only missed 3 Sundays in 27 years.
Woohoo.
We're not asking you to do a poor impersonation of what would Jesus do. We're not asking you to create something in your mind and go pretend to be it. I'm asking you to love Christ where you are. Understand Him as you are currently able. Be available to the Holy Spirit with whatever your presentation is, because He will bring to you those who can respond to you where you are. In 15 years, you should be at a higher level in the Lord. And He will bring a different clientele to you. But don't keep saying, when I get holy, when I get righteous, when I know more, when I watch less TV, when I don't cuss so much. Shut up. Today is all we have. Represent the Lord today. I've got some friends who are good cussers. And they can't believe I'll hang around them when they're cussing. I think most of them think that they speak French. Those of you who are relatively new, I'm appealing for you to join us. Those of you who are old and settled, I'm saying to you, watch out. Because when you eat and are satisfied and forget, then you're losing ground. Would you stand? We've had a couple of prophetic encouragements today, and I don't want those of you who feel that in your heart to get away without us having the opportunity to pray and see what the Lord will do, because His Word is our pathway and His Spirit is our experience. I'm asking all of us to reengage the Scriptures, because we're going where we have not gone before. And I'm so thrilled at how often the Lord will speak to 3 or 4 people who will tell me before I come to the pulpit what they've heard, and it's consistent with the very thing that I'm on track with the Lord. So that kind of stuff happens here. But soap, Scripture, observation, so A, application, P, very good class. meet, discuss, listen, evaluate, talk to one another about these things. Somebody brought to me a dream this week, and I thought it was spot on. Spot on. The Lord is speaking. Encourage one another. All right? Father, here we stand as a people who were not a people, but by your Spirit we have become the people of God. And in your mercy, you have delivered us to a place that allows you to express yourself however you want to do it, and we're going to be okay with it eventually. But you're the Father. You're the potter. We are your children, and you're shaping our lives. Grant to us a fresh enthusiasm for your word and a whole new expectancy for your manifest presence. Now, Lord, today, the broken are among us, those who have children who are sick, teenagers who are troubled, bodies who are broken, emotions who are frayed. We invite you to demonstrate yourself to these who have your need, because in chasing their donkeys, you have made provision already before they even arrived today. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and manifest the glory of Christ so that the Father is put on display through our lives. To this end, we lift our hands towards you, our hearts are open, and we welcome your activity in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you've got a 10-minute break, then you've got connection groups. The altar's open. We'll be praying for you. Something else? All right. The prayers, get up here before the prayees. Q, Inyong, McGowan's, Patterson, Bali, and others.